Well, good morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. And we want to look this morning at this man, the fourth of the major prophets, the prophet Ezekiel. And sadly, very few Christians know much about this great man of God, and very few Christians have read his book. And like Jeremiah the prophet, we noted last week, Ezekiel grew up as a Levite of the priestly line, and under the normal course of events, he would have become a priest serving in the temple. But because of what happened to him, he was removed from there, and God called him to be a prophet. Now, as a priest, Ezekiel would have been very well acquainted with the temple and all the rituals of the priesthood. And you'll see a lot of that coming out in the book of Ezekiel. Now, his name, Ezekiel, means God strengthens, or the strengthened by God. And no doubt his parents were godly and had a desire that God would strengthen and anoint and use their son in his service, and how God would use this great man. Now, Ezekiel's life had many ups and downs, as you will see as you go through this wonderful book. But through it all, he will remain faithful in serving the Lord. Now, as a child, Ezekiel would have been born around the time that Josiah was bringing through all his great reforms in the nation of Israel, or the kingdom of Judah, as it was called. And he would have grown up in that, but then as he became a teenager, after the death of Josiah, he would have seen all that cycle of terrible kings and rulers who followed the godly Josiah. He would have lived as a teenager through the great Babylonian siege of Nebuchadnezzar. So he was a man who saw many ups and downs in his life, even from young. And then as a teenager, he was dragged down to Babylon at that time. Now, if you remember the story, in 606, King Nebuchadnezzar conquered the city of Jerusalem for the first time. And after conquering and putting down the leaders of the kingdom of Judah, he took a group of the choicest of the younger people, the cream of the crop, down to Babylon. And this was really the first exile, or the first deportation. Daniel and his three friends were taken in that deportation, 606, 605 BC. That was deportation number one. But then about 9 years later, in 597 BC, the Jews that were still in Jerusalem and their new king rebelled against the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar. And he came back again with his armies. And this time he took a bigger chunk of the nation that remained down into captivity. About 10,000 were dragged down into the Babylonian Empire as captives or slaves or servants. Ezekiel was just 25 years of age when this happened. And he was taken along with the king down to the land of Babylon. And for the rest of his life, to our knowledge, like Daniel, he will spend in exile, away from his home country, away from his family there, away from his faith there, the artifacts of his faith in terms of the temple and the sacrifices, away from really his calling as a priest. And he's taken down to Babylon at just 25 years of age. Now, the Babylonians took the cream of the crop from all the nations they conquered and would bring them down to their land in order to use them really as workers for them, civil servants and other tasks, particularly skilled artisans they would use in constructing all the great buildings and parts of their empire, running their empire. And unlike some of the other nations, the Babylonians were known for their generosity and relative kindness to these captives. They allowed many of them to live in villages of their own people. So there were communities of Jews. They were often allowed to live in their own homes and have careers down in Babylon. And they were treated surprisingly well. Many of the Jews there, if you remember, when it was later conquered by the Persians, like Esther and her uncle Mordecai, embraced many of the Babylonian and then the Persian ideas and culture, and even named their children. Esther is a Persian name. But many of them retained their faith in the God of Israel. And certainly within the exiled community, we know men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and later on Esther and Mordecai, began to hold on to the faith of their forefathers. Now, Ezekiel wasn't taken to Babylon itself. We're told in chapter 1, he was by the river Chebar. And in chapter 3, verse 15, we're told he was taken to a city called Tel Abib, near the city or the river of Chebar. So where is this? Well, it's thought to be a ship canal, a navigable canal that the Babylonians built off the river Euphrates that was southeast from the city of Babylon. So he was taken there and placed there by Nebuchadnezzar. We also discover later on in the book of Ezekiel that he had his own house there. That was typical of the generosity of the Babylonians to their captives. We also discover in Ezekiel chapter 24 that he was given a wife. He was allowed to have a wife. And she was very beloved to him. And when he was just 37 years of age, his wife will pass away down there in Babylon. And God will command him not to mourn for her and not to remarry. So those were the domestic arrangements of Ezekiel. Now, in verse 1, we're told something of the call of this man, Ezekiel. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, we're told, "It came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw the visions of God." So God opened the eyes of Ezekiel as he was working away from his home in Jerusalem and Judea, away from his countrymen, really, dragged away from his family and his faith and his calling there as a priest. God began to speak to him. And God began to reveal himself to this man, Ezekiel, first. You know, that's always the way. Before God can use you to speak to others, he must speak to you. You must get a sense of who he is and his glory to be used by him. And we're told God opened the heavens to let him see the glory of God and the amazing power of God. But then in verse 3 of chapter 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest." So that's how we know he's a priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans. So he's away from his homeland, away from his calling as a priest. There's no temple there. And we're told, "The hand of the Lord was there upon him." God began to put his mighty hand upon this young man, Ezekiel. Now, what age is he at this moment? He's 30 years of age. So he's lived for 5 years. Remember we said he left at 25? He's now lived for 5 years down in the land of Babylon. And now God begins to speak to him and call him to be a prophet and a preacher of the word of God. Now, this is a change, just like Jeremiah, of the original calling upon him and his family. They were all priests for many generations. And now God says, "You're no longer going to be a priest, Ezekiel." And as we said last time with Jeremiah, that was a relatively straightforward job. It was paid, it was predictable, And it was in many ways a popular job to be a priest. Respected job. Respected vocation. And respected calling. But the moment you became a prophet, you had to speak out on God's behalf against sin and sinners. And that was unpredictable. That was unpaid. And that would have been a very unpopular calling and role that you were called to play. And yet God changes the direction of Ezekiel's life. And having been a priest, then a captive for 5 years, now he becomes a prophet, a preacher of the word of God. Many years before, King Solomon had written this in Proverbs 16, verse 9. Listen to the words. A man's heart deviseth or plans his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A man's heart devises way. In other words, we can make all our plans, but ultimately God will decide. And God sometimes changes the plans that we have. Moses planned to lead his nation at 40 years of age. God said, no, go to Midian and hide there as a shepherd for 40 years. And then as he wanted to retire a shepherd, God says, no, go back to Egypt and lead my people out of the land of Egypt. And that's what God does in your life and my life. One old commentator put it this way, write your plans in pencil because God will come with the eraser and rub them out. And you know, that's so true. All over the scriptures, you'll see this over and over again, how man plans. Man has his own ideas, but God steps in and changes the trajectory and direction of his life. And all of us who are listening here today can say, that's so true of my life. And you have to be open to that. You have to make your plans with the knowledge that you have. But you always have to acknowledge God may change those plans at any moment in time. And I'm sure you can identify with Ezekiel here, thinking for 25 years, I'm going to serve the Lord in a particular sphere of service as a priest, in his case. But then God changes it and removes you from that and makes you a captive down in Babylon. And then 5 years later, when you're starting to settle down, get used to the Babylonian ways and culture, no doubt he's working there, God comes along and says, no, I have another task for you. I have a new role for you. You're going to be my preacher to the exiles in Babylon. And in chapter 2, verse 3, you read it earlier, God begins to reveal to him his commission or his calling. In chapter 2, verse 3 of the book of Ezekiel, God said unto him, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. So his ministry is primarily going to be to his own people. Now, lest he get excited about such a calling, God reveals the difficulty straight away. He says, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. So God makes it clear, I'm the one deciding this. I'm the one who's sovereign here. I am sending this. Not your choice, Ezekiel. It's not an option here. This is me directing your paths, and you are to walk in this way. I'm the shepherd, you're the sheep. Follow the shepherd. And God says to him, you're to go there to this rebellious nation. Not only the calling is of God, but the mission is of God. And the words, that the message that you're to say is of God. And he says, they and their fathers have transgressed against me even until this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. Now, that doesn't sound a very welcome ministry for this man, Ezekiel. What do those terms even mean? Impudent and stiff-hearted. Well, the impudent phrase has to do with a shameless attitude. They're not embarrassed by their sin and their rebellion against God. And stiff-hearted has more to do with the fact that even though you're going to call them to repentance, to change their attitude towards God and God's way, they're going to be stiff-hearted, refuse to change. They're going to be stubborn. So right up front, God tells this man his calling, who he's called to, and the difficulties and challenges he's going to face. But then in verse 6 it says, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. God knows that dealing with such a stubborn and stiff-necked people who will sneer at you, who will turn their backs on you, is a very fearful thing for this young priest turned prophet at 30 years of age. And God says to him, don't be afraid. Just because some of them are older or richer or more powerful than you, he says, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee and thou dwell among scorpions. So God says, you know, some of them will sneer at you. They'll hurl abuse at you. They'll lay traps for you as if you're sitting in the thorns. It's going to be difficult. Imagine having to sit among thorns. What a painful experience. The scorpions biting you. Dangers everywhere. Painful experiences everywhere. And God says to this man, Ezekiel, my calling for you is a difficult one, is a treacherous one, but it's my calling for you, Ezekiel. And it's my will for you to walk such a path. Now, God doesn't always call us to rosy positions, happy, joyful positions as we serve him. You know, when a company or a government is advertising jobs, they always try to find a slogan, don't they, to attract people. Join the army and see the world, or join the Navy and travel the world, or join Singapore Airlines and enjoy going around the globe. That's how the world uses catchphrases, positive messages, to try and attract you to a particular role. But God doesn't say that with Ezekiel. In fact, he says, come and be a prophet and endure hardship, endure rejection, endure painful experiences, endure treacherous experiences. And this is no rosy picture for Ezekiel that he's called to make, called to sacrifice. Now, if you read the book of Ezekiel, you will discover Ezekiel had many difficulties and challenges and sufferings. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, but Ezekiel also had times of weeping, much weeping, in his life and his ministry. We discover, for example, that his wife would die relatively young, just 7 years after God called him to be a prophet. We discover that God would forbid him to weep for her, because her passing would be a symbol and a sign to the nation of God's judgment upon them. He was forbidden from taking another wife, to have the comfort of another marriage, because of the symbolism of his first marriage. God asked him to do things that appear some, maybe even, if I could say this reverently, a little crazy. He was, for example, to lie on his side for 390 days and then switch to the other side for the next 40 days. He was to shave all his hair off and then take the hair and divide it into three equal parts. He was to carry luggage around like he was moving house all the time. All these kind of strange, many, many different types of strange signs that he was called to do before his nation as he preached to them. But you know, when God calls, he enables. Remember in chapter 1, it says the hand of the Lord was upon him. Remember in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the heavens opened and I saw visions of God. Now, what did he see in those visions? And what did God bless him with? And he really, we could sum it up into two things that God did for him as he called this man. Number one, he filled him with the word of God. If you look at verse 8 of chapter 2, it says, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Don't be like the people, the Jewish people, rebellious. It says, open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. What will God give him to eat? It says, when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. And then in chapter 3 it says, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. So God gave a roll, a scroll, in this vision to this man Ezekiel. And he caused, a hand came and made him eat. It was the word of God. And it got into his stomach and his digestive system, with the picture being that it filled him, got right to the center of him. And Ezekiel testified, it was sweet, this word of God that I was to consume, and was to consume me really, is going to be sweet to my soul. Now, it's going to be a difficult word at times, a word of judgment, a word of conviction, a word of condemnation against the sins of the people of God. But also there will be hopeful messages that Ezekiel will preach of the future restoration of the Jewish people, a future temple, and the coming of the Savior, and all of those wonderful things, not just in his first, but in his second coming. And those would be so sweet. After the bitterness of the punishment and the judgment of the exile, will come the restoration. Will come in the end times a regathering of the Jewish people from being scattered all over the world, and how God would come and presence himself with them and revive them again, and the dry bones would live. So there was sweetness in the judgment. So that's the first thing God did, to enable this man, Ezekiel, to be able to stand for him in those difficult years, over 20 years, as a prophet of the Lord, at least over 20 years, from the timings in this book. But then the second thing that God did for Ezekiel, or really it's the first, but the two go together, is in chapter 1, because in verse 4, he sees this great vision, and the vision goes all the way down to the end of verse 28 of Ezekiel chapter 1, of the thrones of God and the greatness and glory of God. Now, I don't have time to go through all the various interpretations and disagreements on what this vision actually means, but certainly what it meant to Ezekiel was that he got a sense, before he began to preach, before he had to face the strong words from his opponents and his enemies, he got a great sense of the glory of God, the greatness of God, the power of God. And God uses these two things. Number one, the word of God in him, filling him, consuming him. And number two, the vision of the glory of God. And he's going to have to go from that vision and that knowledge and go out and face the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's going to have to go to the Jewish people in exile and those back still in Jerusalem and proclaim to them the message of God, the calling of God to them. Now, what was his message that he was called to preach? Well, if you remember, Ezekiel is 30 years of age. He's been 5 years down in the land of Babylon by the river Kibar. But the city of Jerusalem is still intact. King Zedekiah is now on the throne. The temple is still intact in Jerusalem. And Jeremiah is prophesying in Jerusalem. So you have these three prophets. Daniel's at the royal palace in Babylon, in the capital city, serving the Lord, prophesying for the Lord. Ezekiel is away from Babylon at the river Kibar, prophesying for the Lord. And back in Jerusalem, hundreds and hundreds of miles away, to the southwest of the city of Babylon, Jeremiah is awaiting the final destruction of the city and the kingdom of Judah and the temple. And he is pleading and preaching and calling the nation to repentance. So all these three men are preaching in different places, but preaching God's way and God's word and fulfilling God's calling in these very different situations. One in the royal palace, one in the prison, and one as a captive by the river Kibar. And God says in verse 4 of chapter 2 to this man, Ezekiel, I do send thee unto them. So my message is to you, Ezekiel, to bring to the children of Israel. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. So God's message says, you're to go and be a prophet and speak the word of God to them. Now, Ezekiel's prophecies will begin now and continue right through the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, the complete destruction of the temple, which will happen in just a few more years. And then it will continue right through for another 20-odd years, down in exile in Babylon. And his message will be directed to his own people, primarily. You have a rebellious problem. You have a glory problem. You glory in yourself. You glory in the flesh. You glory in idolatry and immorality. And God's calling you back to glory in him. God wants you to truly worship him the way he wants you to worship him. And he says, Ezekiel, you're to be my watchman. You're the one to look out and see the danger and proclaim the danger to the house of God, to the children of Israel. And he sees the terrible destruction that comes, just like Jeremiah does. And he warns of that destruction that will come. They are a rebellious house. They are under God's judgment. But you know, although Jeremiah will see some positive things, along with the negative things in the visions God shows him, Ezekiel sees so much more. God reveals so much more of future glory. And it's a mistake to read the book of Ezekiel and say, well, it's all about destruction. It's all about judgment. It's all about God's wrath against sin, and there's plenty of that. But that's not all there is, because God reveals in the book of Ezekiel of this new covenant between him and his people. He will describe of a future restoration of the Jewish people, how he will come and regather them, that he will never cast them off eternally. He reveals that even in the dark days in the future when their enemies gather around them, he will deliver them. He reveals that one day there will be a new Jerusalem and a new temple and a new dawn on the nation of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And although Ezekiel is sometimes called God's watchman, really it's God who's watching out for his people. Ezekiel is just the messenger, the instrument of God's watchman. And God will reveal through Ezekiel, particularly to the godly remnant like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and others down in the exile in Babylon, God will reveal to them through Ezekiel, God hasn't forgotten about you. God knows where you are. And God has words of comfort and consolation to them that one day he will make all things right. He will right every wrong, and he will restore his people. But then, finally, I want to ask this question, which I always like to do now at the end of messages. What can we learn from the life and the ministry of this man, Ezekiel, the exiled prophet? Well, apart from some details, we don't know an awful lot about his life, but we know enough to make two or three conclusions that I think are helpful. Number one, God can call us to a particular ministry or a particular calling at any time. You heard me quote that verse at the very beginning from Proverbs that Solomon set forth in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, and it's just so true, isn't it? As man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. Even the most powerful have to bow when God steps in. You know, just yesterday, the Queen of England seemed so powerful, didn't she? She seemed so in control. No doubt there were plans made for her for the rest of 2022. She had this or set for this activity or event that she must go to, that she must participate in. Yet here we are today, and we mourn as a nation. The Commonwealth mourns and the world mourns the passing of Britain's longest serving monarch. She lived 96 years of age. So she was 96. She had the best medical advisors that money could buy. She lived a healthy life. She ate well. She took care of herself. But yet, when God decided enough is enough, in just a moment of time, she was taken out of this world. And even the strongest, the wealthiest, the most powerful need to learn this lesson, that you can plan your ways, but God can turn them upside down. And in Ezekiel's case, he no doubt thought, growing up in a home of a priest from the tribe of Levi, that his whole life was mapped out before him already. I'm going to serve in the temple. I'm going to lead in the sacrifices and in the worship of God there. But you know, at just 25 years of age, God took him out of that temple, never to serve ever again. The priests, it said, served from 30 years of age. He never got to serve in the temple, because at 25, God removed him and changed the trajectory and direction of his life. And now he finds himself down in Babylon. And maybe he thought there at 25 years of age, during those 5 years in exile, that I don't really have a purpose anymore. I don't really have a calling anymore. Everything has been destroyed. All my hopes and my ambitions and my service for God is over. But you know, at 30 years of age, God revealed, I have something else. In fact, I have something better. We like to quote that verse, as for God, his way is perfect. And no doubt Ezekiel, at the end of his life, could look back and say, I planned this, but God planned something else. And God's way is the best way. You know, when God calls you to serve him, serve him. And do it well. You know, a man met a farmer one day who had this wonderful herd of prize sheep that was famous all over the country for their wool and for their tender meat. And he asked this farmer, he said to him, sir, can I ask you a question? How did you succeed in rearing such a prize flock of sheep? You know what the farmer said? He looked at that man who asked him the question and he said simply this, I take care of my lambs. Take care of my lambs. Because in taking care of his lambs, he takes care of his sheep. Because the lambs become sheep and grow to be sheep. And you know, that was Ezekiel. God called him from one area of service into a completely different area of service. In fact, a less attractive, you could say, area of service. And yet, he just did it. And he knew and was willing to acknowledge God can do that. That's his choice. He can do that at any mind, at any time in any of our lives. But then the second thing that we learn about Ezekiel is this. God can use even the most difficult things in our lives to bring glory to him. You know, Ezekiel had many trials. As we said, at just 25 years of age, he had experienced the death of Josiah, and then the rise of all these ungodly, wicked kings. And then he endured the siege of Jerusalem. And he saw his king dragged down into captivity. And then he was dragged at 25 away from his family and his country, never to return again. He wasn't given a big job with a big salary down in Babylon. He was a captive there. He was effectively a slave, albeit as a slave he was treated somewhat better than some nations treated their slaves. And then just at 37 years of age, his wife died. And he had many difficulties, many problems. We could say he had a rough life. But yet, through those difficulties and through those sufferings and problems, God used this man's life to really reflect the glory of God. It's one of the most wonderful prophecies of the Word of God, the book of Ezekiel. You see so much of the glory of God in it, the greatness of God in it, the comfort of God in it, the blessing of God in it. And through the crucible of suffering that he had to go through, that piece of carbon that was put into the crucible of the heat emerges as a beautiful diamond under the pressure and under the heat. But then, thirdly, and we've really touched on this already, God wants us to be faithful to his calling. Firstly, God can call us to a ministry at any time. Secondly, notice God can use difficulties in our lives to bring glory to him. But then thirdly, notice God wants us to be faithful to that new calling that he gives us to do. And Ezekiel served at the same time as Jeremiah and Daniel. And he could have looked around and said, well, why can't I be in the palace like Daniel? Why do I have to go to be a captive by the river Kibar in a much more humble place of service? He could have looked down to Jeremiah hundreds of miles southwest, living in the city of Jerusalem in freedom, and said, how come I'm in slavery or in captivity? And Jeremiah, he's allowed to be a prophet of God in the city of Jerusalem. It's not fair. But he doesn't think like that. He says, God has called me here at this moment. And for the next 20 plus years, he is a prophet of the Lord in the land of Babylon, in this humble place beside the river Kibar, speaking the truth of God's word and asked to do some strange things, humanly speaking, by the Lord, to endure difficult obstacles by the Lord. And you know, as far as we know, Ezekiel never left the land of captivity. As far as we know, he died down in Babylon. According to Jewish history and Jewish tradition, he died down there in the land of Babylon, and his grave is in Babylon. In fact, if you go to the land of Iraq today, they say Ezekiel's grave site is known, and his tomb is known there in Babylon. He never deviated from the calling of God, faithful to the very end. What an example he was. If you look at the end of chapter 1 of the book of Ezekiel, there's a beautiful statement of Ezekiel's response to the revelation of the glory of God. It says in the end, or the middle part of verse 28, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And how does he respond? And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. He said, when I saw the glory of God, the greatness of God, when I heard the calling of God, this man just fell before the Lord in submission, in surrender. And like the hymn writer, he said, all to Jesus I surrender. You know, it's easy to sing those words, but it's much more difficult to live them. And for the next 20-odd years, Ezekiel lived those words and was faithful unto the calling. And you know, one of the amazing things about seeing the glory of God at the river Kibar was that Ezekiel learned something special about God that maybe he needed reminded, or maybe he had not even fully realized. And it was this: as a Jew and as a priest, growing up in the temple in Jerusalem, Ezekiel no doubt was aware of how God's glory came down when Solomon built that temple, and it was full of the Shekinah glory of God, the greatness of God. And there would have been a tendency in the mind of many Jews, particularly even priests, to imagine that God's glory is tied up in that temple and really only in that temple. Remember Eli's daughter-in-law, when the ark was gone, cried, "Ichabod, the glory has departed from Israel." And maybe Ezekiel, as he was spending those 5 years down in exile in Babylon, thought, "The glory has gone. I'm lost. There's no hope. There's no future. There's no ministry for me." But that day, when he saw that vision of the glory of God down at the river Kibar, hundreds and hundreds of miles from home, he suddenly knew and appreciated afresh that God's glory is not restricted simply to the temple in Jerusalem. You can experience the glory of God wherever you are. And from that glorious appreciation of who God is, and from taking the word of God into his soul and consuming it as he was eating a roll or scroll, Ezekiel went out to face the difficulties and challenges as a servant of the Lord. And for the rest of his days, he served the Lord faithfully. And he, being dead, now speaks to us. And he's saying to you and I, wherever you are in the world, number one, get a vision of the glory of God. Number two, fill yourself with the word of God. Consume it, almost as if you're eating this book. And then number three, go out and serve him wherever he puts you, whether it's at the river Kibar, whether it's in the palace in Babylon, or whether it's down in the prison in Jerusalem. Just serve him where he puts you. And you'll be faithful and you'll have the blessing that Ezekiel found. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the life and ministry and message of this great man, Ezekiel. What a message he has for us. What an example he is to us. Help us as we learn more about him today to not simply listen in an intellectual way, but may we be challenged to be like him, to serve like him, to love thee like him. Give us a real vision of God's glory. Fill us with a sense of the presence of God. Fill our homes, fill our churches, fill our lives, fill our workplace. Fill our souls with thy word, almost as if it consumes every part of it, fills every part of it. And then help us to go and serve thee right where you want us to serve, whether in the home, as a husband or a housewife or a son or a daughter, in the workplace, as an employer or as an employee, whether it is a neighbor, whether in the church, in whatever capacity. Help us to serve thee right where you want us to be. Help us to be faithful, like this man Ezekiel was faithful. May our lives resonate for the glory of God. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.